You're listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. Thanks for tuning in to another year of the Something Beautiful podcast, another year, another season, 2014. Now, over the past 6 years, we've talked with a lot of people who could easily be labeled as professional ministers. Today, we're going to talk with Angus Mathey. And Angus is someone who, I don't know if the word's been coined before, but it might be easy to say he's a professional layperson. A layperson with a full heart of passion and humility for serving. Now, there are two things that you'll notice shortly after meeting Angus or starting a conversation with Angus, and that is his passion for his faith and his church and his passion for his family. He loves both fully and serves both of them fully with humility and passion. Now, as some of our long-term listeners may know, Angus is Thomas's father. Thomas has been my co-host for the podcast since the beginning. And he's been on my interview wish list for some time now, so I'm really excited to get things kicked off for the new year and a new season in talking with Angus. He's a retired telecommunications worker, among other things, and as I mentioned, he now spends much of his time with his family and his small independent church in Glasgow, Scotland.
You have given your listeners my name, and I'm really privileged to be Thomas's father. Father-in-law to Owen and grandfather to Dana and Miriam. My wife's name is Elizabeth, and we will be married, God willing, 42 years next month. And the Lord has brought us through tremendous highs and lows during that time. What I'm most involved in is the likes of, we have a weekly drop-in soup kitchen, which I am involved in the leadership of that. And it allows us to meet people that we would probably never really meet in the normal course of events. People who have perhaps just out of prison or various addictions and so on. And that is very, very important. But I have a number of other roles within the church, and a lot of my time is taken up in preparation for these roles, both in a public way, but also in the background as well, working as a trustee and so on. So I am defined very much by my love of the Lord Jesus and the legacy that I have, being a third generation Christian. And for me, it is so important that I display the love of the Lord Jesus in every sort of contact I have with people and in life, of course.
In case you missed it, Angus noted there that he is a third generation Christian. And not only does his family play an important role in his life today, but in coming to faith, his family played an important role as well.
I never knew my father's father, my grandfather on my father's side. Unfortunately, he died just before I was born. But the more I get to know about him, the more I love him as a Christian person. He was a founder member of a church the other side of Glasgow. But where he most served the Lord was as a personal worker. He was a very quiet, humble person, but he was a personal worker that reached out to the people in the community. I think the starting point is that my mother died when I was 10. But she had lived her faith in the family. I was born just a couple of years after the Second World War. And from that point of view, I could see within my parents a love of the Lord Jesus, a very simple and regular faith. But what was most important about it was that as Christians, they believed that the Lord would be coming back at some point, as the Bible would teach us, but they also wanted to share their faith with the large families that they belonged to. So from those beginnings, I saw a very real, a very genuine faith in them. And although our family disintegrated in a sense, from the very real beginning, I felt that I was drawn to faith in the Lord Jesus because I could see it worked out in a practical way with my parents. From the point of view that as a teenager, I gradually realised my need of personal salvation. And I also felt it from that I had a role model in my father who lived a very quiet but consistent life. And I have been able to experience the love of the Lord for both Elizabeth and myself in a very practical way, because our experience in the early years of marriage particularly was not an easy one. It was a difficult couple of the first years, and it's only through the grace of God that we come through that period, Jonathan.
As Angus mentioned, he's been married to Elizabeth for 42 years, and as I try to transition to this next part of his story, I'm almost finding myself at a loss for words. But I'll just tell you that as they started their marriage, they were expecting a healthy baby boy, but then tragedy struck.
We were very early into our marriage, Jonathan. We had Elizabeth is a wee bit older than myself, so we knew that once we were married, that we would not wait a long time to form a family. Every indication we had was that the boy, David, was perfectly healthy all the way up to birth. Elizabeth had carried the baby to full term, but because of staffing failings at what was meant to be the main maternity hospital near to us, meant that Elizabeth was left in labour for 36 hours. The staff who were attending to her had not been trained sufficiently to realise that there was signs of fetal distress. So the baby eventually was born through caesarean section, and the wee man, he lived for about 5 hours. So it was a very difficult experience for both of us. Sorry about that. I hasten to add that I don't have any sense of malice, or I don't blame Edwin, Jonathan. However, there is always that sense of loss. Having said that, Thomas is a tremendous son, and I wouldn't wish anyone else from that point of view, but it is a matter where we remember that period. However, it had a very positive side to it, in the sense that, as I mentioned earlier, that Elizabeth and I, they were thrown very much in our own company, and it was a matter where we had to realise that the Lord was bringing us through a very, very difficult experience. But thankfully, it wasn't so much longer until Thomas was born, and from that point of view, we felt that while the Lord had taken the first baby, that we had more than the compensation in having a child like Thomas.
Thank you.
When David was born, we were not entirely told the distress that the lad was in. I was taken through to see the cot that he was in, and he was obviously struggling. Even as a lay person, a non-medical person, I could see that. While there was a joy in seeing him, there was this sense that somehow we were not being given all of the facts. We were told that there was obviously problems with him, but we're not told that he was in such a critical situation. He only lived about 5 hours, but the joy in seeing him was that I could see him. I couldn't hold him. He was in an incubator, but it was just the fact that here Elizabeth and I had a son was just quite delightful. It led obviously to the most difficult experience I've ever had in my life, and that is to carry a little white coffin. But it's amazing the strength that you get from the Lord in these kind of situations. So in a sense, Jonathan, that the delight in seeing Thomas was doubled in the sense that here we had a young, vibrant son. For me, the family has always been complete. It's not as though Thomas is not enough for us. He's always been more than that. And the fact is, in a lot of ways, probably scary to him that his old dad is probably very like him, and he's like his dad. Our natures are very, very similar. The thing is, as I say, because he's matured into such a lovely Christian, that is the biggest joy. But the moment of seeing Thomas was just, it's almost indescribable, because there was no sense at all that there was anything, any problems with him or anything. And I just, as soon as I could hold him, was just wonderful. And I think because you go through difficult experiences, you do value what comes out of that, you know, the things that come out of that. It is just the joy of being a father and now a grandfather. These girls just mean the world to us.
Now, I hope that you picked up on the same nugget of truth that I did when listening to Angus tell the story. And that is that no matter what the mourning is, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the sorrow is, there is joy that can come after it. There is hope for something better. We don't have to sit in the mourning forever. There is hope beyond the mourning. I've experienced that in my life. Angus and Elizabeth have experienced it in their life. And hopefully you have, or you will experience it in your life as well. Now, Angus and I spent a little over an hour talking right at the end of last year, and I'll tell you in a moment how you can hear that full recording, but I did ask them one final question. I said, Angus, of all that you've gone through, all of your experiences, how would you like to be remembered?
That's perhaps a hard question. I think just simply as an ordinary person with no great pretensions, Jonathan. It's just a matter of someone in an ordinary way, perhaps a very determined person, a passionate person for what I believe to be right. I don't mind occasions where I have to stand up and speak up for the truth. I don't shy away from that. But hopefully someone who has the capacity to be able to accept people for who he or she is without trying to bend them or manipulate them or anything like that. Someone who simply is trying as best as possible to point to the Lord Jesus.
Well, that wraps up our first episode of 2014. I hope that you have enjoyed listening. If you want to hear more of Angus's story, we do have the full extended interview on our website. That's at somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. You can download it and listen to the full hour-long conversation that we had. And that's something I actually plan to do this year with the podcast. I'll release a shortened 10 to 20 minute episode, so hopefully you can listen to it on your daily commute or while you're out walking the dog or running errands. And then for those who like the full story, I'll make those extended interviews available for most of the shows on our website. Our theme music is The Owl Named Orion by danosongs.com, and we also featured music this week from Thomas's net label, We Are Ghost. You can find links to each of the tracks on our website at somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. Now, my goal this year is to release and to publish at least 2 podcasts a month. I've got one ready for next week, so you don't even have to wait a full month or wait a couple weeks. There is one in the can ready to go for next week. But in the meantime, be sure to send those stories my way that you think we should share here on the podcast, and hopefully we'll hear your story on the next Something Beautiful podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Google+ to get the latest updates, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And while you're at it, tell a friend. You've been listening to the Something Beautiful podcast, Stories Worth Talking About. I'm Jonathan Blundell. Have a great week.